Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Oh, yes, it is. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What a beautiful Friday here in our Southern Command, our headquarters for the Todd Starnes radio show, Memphis, Tennessee, along the banks of the mighty Mississippi River. And folks, hope you're having a good day wherever you are. We have just received some breaking news from our correspondent here on the Todd Starnes radio show, Grace Baker. She rushed this document in mere moments ago, and I want to read it right now in my former Chick-fil-A sandwich stained fingers. I may have borrowed that from someone, but just follow along. ABC's Jimmy Kimmel on Thursday announced he will be taking the summer off after facing criticism over wearing blackface in a recurring skit he performed while working on the main show on Comedy Channel. So, Jimmy Kimmel, this was, how long ago was this? What was this, 1999? Oh, they're going all the way back to 1999. So Jimmy Kimmel taking the summer off. I believe that's code for unemployment line. Jimmy Kimmel in trouble because he wore blackface back on TV in 1999. There you go. The first of many. The first of many. So, no, we haven't gotten any word yet on the Virginia governor, but you never know. They're toppling all sorts of things across the country, so maybe they'll be doing the same to governors. By the way, on a lighter note, for the next couple of hours, in honor of Father's Day coming up Sunday, so you better go out now, get your dad the pair of socks or the tie. In honor of Father's Day, we are now accepting the best of the worst dad jokes.
Todd, so I've got one.
Yes, call I've screener research. Avery. All right. Okay. Call screener Avery, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so hold on. Oh, shoot. I just lost it. Hold on. Okay, I got it. Why couldn't the bicycle stand up by itself?
Why couldn't the bicycle stand up for itself? I do not know, call screener Avery. Why could the bicycle not stand up for itself?
It was too tired. It was a bicycle that has two tires.
I got it. Yeah, no, I'm following you. You got to tell me. Tell them the one. You got to tell the audience the one you just told me.
The one I just told you. Okay.
I think this is brilliant.
I love this one too. What concert just costs 45 cents? 50 cents featuring Nickelback.
Oh, that's clever.
I love it.
Say that one more time. What concert?
What concert cost just 45 cents?
All right, hold on. Okay. What concert just cost 45 cents?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. What concert just cost 45 cents?
50 Cent featuring Nickelback. yes. As I've told you several times before, I love these jokes and I hate them at the same time, but some of them are just golden, like that one right there.
Very clever. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Best dad jokes will get a prize from the Todd Starnes Show prize closet. Hey, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program. I bet he has a dad joke or two. David Barton from Wall Builders. David, how's it going?
It was going good until you asked me for a dad joke, and now I'm scrambling trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to use.
No, it's okay. Look, you're the smartest man in America, so I just kind of figured you would have, you know, at your disposal, you know, some sort of, you know, a dad joke.
You know, I've got the same problem where I love those jokes and hate them at the same time, and therefore I don't try to remember them. I just enjoy them when I hear them, but I don't try to retain any of them. So I've got the same kind of split opinion of those jokes.
I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, David Barton from Wall Builders, wallbuilders.com, and just such a great wealth of information about American history and who we are as an American people. And of course, and David, we want to ask you about Juneteenth. That is today, yeah. June 19th, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But we have had so many stories drop over the past few days about flags being taken down. Last night, Portland, Oregon, they toppled a statue of George Washington. They burned an American flag on top of the statue. Thomas Jefferson statue toppled. Then a few days ago, a very elite school in Nashville, Tennessee, announced they were ending a tradition that goes back more than 100 years of honoring George Washington. David, what is going on in our country right now?
Well, we suffer really from an amnesia of history. We're attacking people because we look at them in groups rather than individuals. We don't look at what they individually did. And when we do, it's stereotypical and it's not even nuanced on what actually happened. So we're seeing, I mean, the fact that Delaware takes down the statue of Caesar Rodney. My gosh, he's the guy on the quarter for Delaware. And now the state is taking down because he's a founding father, which means he's a racist and a bigot. So all founding fathers have to come down. We're seeing even in Texas, they're taking down statues of Texas Ranger, the typical Texas Ranger statue, you know, which is one of our big law enforcement things. So everybody's kind of getting swept with a broad brush right now, and it's not really based on facts. It's based on perceptions. This is kind of the lynch mob mentality. And, you know, there's some things you can point to and say, all right, they weren't perfect. Oh, but oh my gosh, they're not what people are making them out to be. And that's the real unfortunate side of this is we no longer know enough history. Either that or it's like Columbus. You know, here we're taking down Columbus statues. We've had over more than 600 Columbus statues erected. Now, we're taking them down now because he's this great racist. So are we saying that every single generation for the previous 500 years were all racist until we get to today and we're the first non-racist generation, but everybody else tolerated? No, that doesn't even make logical sense. It's because we don't even know the story of Columbus anymore, and somebody tells us, well, he's a genocidal maniac, he's a racist, he enslaved, and so we got to take it down. How about checking the facts and seeing what actually happened?
You know, this is a fair point that you bring up, because I don't think they're teaching true history in public schools anymore. And I think young people are getting a distorted view of who our founding fathers were and what they did. David, my last book came out, and I quoted you several times in Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. My concern is the end goal. Where does all of this end up? And my contention is, if they are able to convince a couple of generations of American kids that our founding fathers were racist, they owned slaves, therefore it delegitimizes the founding of the country. If they're going to be toppling statues now, maybe they're going to be going after the founding documents down the road. And that's my concern.
Oh, it's not down the road, Todd. It's already here. I mean, when you look at purpose of the 1619 Project, whose curriculum is now in every state, they point out that it is the American constitutional system that has produced the evils in culture, the chief of which is racism. Now, think that through. If the American constitutional system produced racism, and if you don't want racism, then what do you have to do? You have to get rid of America's constitutional system. And by the way, the free market or the capitalistic system is what produced the greed that created the racism, that created the plantations, that created slavery. So we have to get rid of the free market system as well. So the institutions are now under direct attack. I mean, there's no question about that. If I take you to the AP history standards that are used, 460,000 kids a year go through these standards. When you go through World War II right now, and you look at World War II and the standards when they came out September of 2014, it did not mention Hitler or the Holocaust. It didn't mention all the atrocities of the Japanese or the Germans, but it did talk about how that America had racism. And you go through the standards in America, you could easily believe America's the only evil nation in World War II, because the only bad things pointed about World War II were from America.
Well, and
so
to that point, to that,
under attack.
David, to that point, Senator Tim Kaine, just a few days ago from Virginia, the Democrat, said America created slavery. America.
You know, apparently he doesn't know what the book of Exodus is all about. I mean, it's about a bunch of slaves being freed from Egypt by God's hand. But I don't think America existed that time. I don't know how they had slavery without America. But that's the absurdity of what's going on now. It is so illogical. It is no longer historical based. It's nuanced. But the institutions are under attack. I mean, even the fact that 3 weeks ago Trump signed a Holocaust education bill. Why in the heck do you have to sign a federal Holocaust education bill? It's because we're not educating. 68% of millennials do not even know what Auschwitz is. So the institutions are clearly under attack. The racism side is part of that. because racism, you know, we want it ended, and it's the American constitutional system and economic system that did that. So we're going to topple everything related to America. And that's what you see, from flags to founding fathers to former heroes to et cetera. They're all coming down.
David, I want to bring in one of our listeners on the line from North Little Rock, Arkansas, Greg. Do we still have Greg listening to us on KARN? Greg, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Greg, you're on the air with David Barton, and you wanted to talk about you were mentioning about free black people at the start of the nation who own black slaves, and I want David to address this. What's your question?
Not just free black people, but you know, six out of Indian nations as well in the early turn of the 19th century. And according to the 1830 census, there was over 3,500 black slave owners who were free that owned over almost 13,000 slaves in all 13 colonies.
Now, Greg, hold that thought. Now, David Barton, is that accurate information? Is it true that people of color owned slaves at one point in this country?
Yeah, let me take that and expand it a little bit, because what you have, Carter Woodson, who is a famous black historian, he's called the father of black history. We credit Black History Month of things to Carter Woodson. Carter Woodson documented that in 1860, at the time of the Civil War, 43% of free blacks in South Carolina owned black slaves, as did 40% in Georgia, on down through all the other states.
Yeah, so that was 170
Okay, so let's put Greg on hold here. I want David to finish answering this question. Go ahead, David.
You have that high percentage. So if you're going to do reparations, who are you going to get it from and to? And by the way, what do you do with black slave owners? And as Greg mentioned, with the Native Americans, at the time of the 1860 census, there were five major Native American tribes. You look at them, and 12% of the Native American population were black slaves. Now, only 8% of whites owned slaves, but 12% of Native Americans owned slaves. And by the way, when the 13th Amendment was passed to abolish slavery, it did not affect Native American tribes, because they're independent nations. And so they still had slavery after we abolished slavery with the 13th Amendment. And by the way, going back earlier than that, when Columbus arrived in the New World, between 20 and 40% of Native Americans were enslaved by other Native Americans. So slavery is a human problem. It's not a black on white problem. And by the way, the very first slavery law in America, 1671, allowed you to own black slaves, white slaves, or Indian slaves. And in the 16th century, there were more white slaves than there were black slaves. Nobody talks about those numbers, and those are undisputed numbers. They're absolutely documented. And by the way, of the 12.7 million slaves taken out of Africa brought to America, what nobody talks about is 43% went to Portugal, 24% went to Great Britain, 11% went to France, 10% to Denmark. Only 2.4% went to the United States, 300,000 out of the 12.7 million. Now, that's 300,000 we should not have taken. But everybody today thinks America is the only nation that has racism and slavery. We were one of the lowest at the time. We were the first nation in the history of the world to ban the international slave trade. We did in 1807. We were the fourth nation in the history of the world to abolish slavery in 1865. Now, think about that. In 1865, we were only the fourth nation to abolish slavery out of 124 nations. So we are in the top 1% of the world, and no other nation in the world had a war where the whites went to war against whites and freed blacks as a result. I don't understand why we're the worst nation in the world on racism and slavery. It's because people don't know facts.
All right, David, we've got to take a break here. I want you to hang tight, because a lot of people are asking, okay, what can we do as parents? And I also want you to weigh in on Juneteenth. Hang tight. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. David Barton from wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com, a great resource of information for you and your family. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, where we have the most beautiful, most attractive most awesome listeners in all of talk radio. Great to have you with us today, folks. So let's get right back to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend from wallbuilders.com, David Barton. And David, a lot of moms and dads are looking at what's happening around the country right now. And the question we get, what can they do?
Couple things I would recommend is, one, reacquaint them with American history. Now, I'll point out, in my viewpoint, the more biblical you are, the less concerned you are about any group. The less biblical you are, the more concerned you are about any group, and that goes back to Genesis 9, Tower of Babel, etc. So one of the things I think everybody needs to know is American heroes. I would take particularly black heroes, especially if you're a white family. Oh, my gosh. Take and learn about black heroes that nobody talks about today. If you're a black family, learn about the black heroes of the American Revolution. Learn about Jack Sisson. Learn about James Armistead. Learn about folks like Lemuel Haynes. And learn about Wentworth Cheswell. Fantastic heroes and stories. We think the founding fathers were all white and they were all a bunch of rich, wealthy. That's not true. Look at the Hispanics involved in the American Revolution, or the women, or look at all those from foreign nations, dozens of nations. More than 20 of our generals were Irish generals. Look at all the black heroes who were recognized, even congressionally recognized by state legislatures for all their heroics. Those are things to teach kids. And when you do that, it knocks down the narrative of being able to say it's one group against another group, because that's just not the way America was built.
You know, a couple of things here in our final moments. Of course, today is Juneteenth. President Trump catching a lot of flack for wanting to do a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was the scene of just a devastating, horrifying, really domestic terrorist attack. Yes. Tell us about Juneteenth. Yes. and what happened in Tulsa.
Juneteenth was when the Civil War ended in really April of 1865. Then they sent Union generals into every state to help oversee the reentry of those states back into the United States. So in Texas, the general that was sent here was Gordon Granger. He arrived here on June the 19th of 1865 under martial law, under military control, because the states in rebellion had surrendered. So as he comes in, he says, you guys may not have heard about this, but 2.5 years ago, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation declaring all slaves in Texas were free. And no, they hadn't heard about that. And so he says, here's the deal. From now on, there are no slaves. If you're a slave and have a master, he is now an employer and you can be an employee, but he's going to pay you. You don't have to work for him. You're going to work for somebody else. You can, but no longer are you slaves and no longer can there be slave owners. And so he went through and laid out the new policy. So that became celebrated the next year as a holiday, June the 19th. Freedmen's Bureau set that up as a holiday. It spread throughout Texas as an annual holiday, and as slaves left Texas and went other places, former slaves left Texas, it is now a holiday celebrated in all 50 states, recognized in all 50 states.
And David, it's a reason to celebrate, too. I mean, what a great thing that happened, you know, in this country. So, David, look, I'm sorry we can't we got to wrap it up. But David, you've got such great information on your website, wallbuilders.com. Folks, you got to check out the Black History Library page there as well. David, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Todd. Bless you. Thanks for all you do.
All right. Great man right there. Again, wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, college students, high school students, go check it out. Learn something. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And man, we sure do appreciate the great sponsors who support this show. They keep us on the air, and we appreciate them affirming our mission. And I got to tell you something, we affirm the mission of all of our sponsors, talking about great folks like Liberty University, MyPillow, Mission Preborn, Truett McConnell University, and of course, one of our brand new sponsors, Brim's Snack Foods, which is based right here in Memphis, Tennessee, by the way, the best pork rinds in America, hands down. Brim's, B-R-I-M-S Snack Food. It is a family-owned Christian company, and I would encourage you to check out their products, delicious, delicious snacks. What was it that one of our callers said? It was a snack attack? A snack heart attack?
I think so.
Well, they're very healthy snacks.
Yes.
All right, let's get to the Let's get to the phone lines here. And my computer just froze. Oh, here we go. Let's go to Ann in Starkville, Mississippi. And that is home, of course, to Mississippi State University, I do believe.
Hello,
Ann. A beautiful town. And, you know, our family, they're big old Miss fans, but I love Starkville.
Well, I just moved here because my daughter always said, be careful where your children go to school. You might end up living there. And my grandson went to school here, and that's why I'm here. I just bought a house from him.
So, is that right? Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I know you're going to love it there. Are you from Mississippi originally?
No. Brownsville, Tennessee for over 60 years I was. Now, that wasn't home, but that's where I lived for over 60 years. Brownsville, Tennessee.
Well, Ann, I got to tell you something. You know, the Southeastern Conference, the football and athletics commissioner there, telling the state of Mississippi that if they don't change their flag, they're gonna lose the opportunity to host championship events. It's really part of this cultural cleansing of the country right now.
I saw that. Yes, sir. And that's what I want to talk about, why we're there. Let me just throw out a couple of short things. I think Gorsuch may have been threatened. I think they threatened them. And Dan Cathy just wouldn't want the Chick-fil-A to burn. And so they're just knuckling under. But I taught school. And I taught way back in the 60s and 70s. And they're not teaching history or civics in schools anymore. And here's the thing. Saul Alinsky, Hillary Clinton's guru that she followed. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm listening to every word you're saying right now.
Okay. I was so quiet, I wasn't sure. Anyway, he wrote Rules for Radicals, and the Marxist Black Lives Matter movement, I'm sorry, all lives matter. And I'm not mean to any black people, but the organization Black Lives Matter is working on a Marxist rule book. And Saul Alinsky wrote Rules for Radicals, and they're following it. And then Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn were Weather Underground bombing police stations back in the 60s, and he's still writing textbooks for the schools.
And what do they all have in common? They influenced the life and the political career of Barack Obama.
He was his mentor. He's the one who put him up for senator and then president.
And he ran for office with a promise to fundamentally transform America. And a lot of people thought, oh, well, that's what he's going to do with this presidency. No. That's what happened after he left office. And what we are watching unfold, Ann, on the streets of American cities is this fundamental transformation of America. That's what, and you're right. They're using the schools against us.
And we're paying for it.
Yes, ma'am, we are. And you make a lot of sense. I want you to do me a favor. Give us a call back sometime. And thank you for listening to us there in Starkville, Mississippi. And good luck and God bless you and your family. All right. You know what? We've got to switch gears here. Our good friend Jen Kearns is boots on the ground in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now at the site of this big Trump rally that's scheduled for tomorrow. Jen Kearns, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Todd. Boots is right. I'm back in the red state of Oklahoma with my cowboy boots on. Glad to be here ahead of the Trump rally tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Yes. Yeah, so look, they're telling us that more than a million people RSVP'd, only 16,000-17,000 people can get in. And now we understand the mayor of the city has declared a civil emergency. So what's going on there?
Well, look, anytime President Trump comes in somewhere, you know, the guy just can't catch a break, right? He's darned if he does, and he's darned if he doesn't. So he's decided that if the Black Lives Matter protesters can be out there shoulder to shoulder, and I would say face mask to face mask, but in the early days of those rallies, we didn't see very many face masks on those folks out there. President Trump has said, well, then the campaign season must be open. So he's decided to go into the heartland state of Oklahoma and hold a rally. I think it's a wonderful place to restart the campaign, restart the fall campaign season coming up. Oklahoma is a great place to do that. It has a rich history of being one of the first states. That's why you, speaking of SEC football there, great football tradition here. Boomer Sooner. We rather do something sooner than too late. And I think President Trump's got that great spirit coming in here. He's not going to let the left run away with this narrative. He's not going to let the left continue this purging of America. He's going to get back out on the campaign trail starting tomorrow and start to push that message of freedom out there. And I think it's a great one.
Yeah, look, so the mayor of Tulsa, G.T. Bynum, he's a Republican. He has declared a civil emergency, announced a curfew. And what I find fascinating here, Jen, the curfew only impacts the area around the rally, and that will impact all of these people that have apparently, we're hearing from Fox News that people have been camped out there for, you know, well, since Monday.
Yeah. Well, look, there's people on the left who have been violent. We've been seeing that playing out on TV for the last 2-3 weeks now. And they're ultimately going to get punished, the Trump supporters who've been waiting diligently. Now, I do think that the Trump campaign is going to make good to those people. I know Mark Lauder and a few folks. I know the former Oklahoma GOP chairman. They've all been out there on the ground today talking to those people. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually gave those loyal Trump supporters who've been camped out there some tickets before they had to be cleared from the area. But look, you have agitators from the outside, like Reverend Al Sharpton, and I did use air quotes in the Reverend Al Sharpton, coming to Tulsa tonight to hold a march and to try to agitate and fan the flames and remind folks of this 1921 riot that happened in the city of Tulsa. And he's going to be out there tonight holding this event until 11 p.m. So Reverend Al Sharpton gets to be out on the streets agitating in the Greenwood district of Tulsa, not too far, by the way, from the BOK Center where President Trump's going to be tomorrow. But Reverend Al gets to be out there agitating with his people and fanning those flames. And then Reverend Al gets back on his private plane tonight at 11 p.m. and leaves the city of Tulsa to burn, potentially. I think that's wrong. I think that sort of outside agitation is exactly the kind of thing that's not going to fly here. And lastly, Todd, you saw President Trump within the last hour tweeting that he welcomes protesters. And he said, but beware, you're not going to be treated in Oklahoma the same way that you were treated in these liberal cities like New York City and Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and Atlanta. This is going to be an interesting experiment in freedom versus these rally rioters, I call them. This is going to be a very interesting test of the strong red state with a strong respect for the Second Amendment. I will be very interested to see if there's actually any ralliers that dare to come down to that center tonight, because they're knocking at the wrong door. They're now in red state territory, and men in this state will actually stand up for women, and they'll actually stand up for the American way. And so it'll be interesting tonight to see what happens around that area.
Yeah, they don't play that game in Oklahoma. And
yeah.
But honestly, I've known a few Oklahoma ladies in my day, and Jen, I can tell you the Oklahoma ladies can take care of themselves too. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I love the president's tweet here. Any protesters, anarchists, agitators, looters, or lowlifes who are going You know, I love this man. This
he just doesn't beat around the bush, does he?
All of you lowlifes, any of you lowlifes who are going to Oklahoma, please understand you will not be treated like you have been in New York, Seattle, or Minneapolis. It will be a much different scene. Jen, have you been out to this? Have you been out to the arena? Have you seen the people standing in the line?
I have not been down there yet. I go in late tonight, and I'll be taking a firsthand look. I will also be doing some interviews with people in line throughout the day tomorrow. So we'll get some good audio and visual for you so we can report back to you on Monday.
Well, I think this is an exciting thing. And Jen, from a political strategist point of view, and look, you're in this business, I think they've got to get the president out of the White House and on the campaign trail.
100%, Todd, for a couple of reasons. One, right now, you have to show the American people, the so-called silent majority, that we're not going to be silent anymore. What's been happening the last 21 days on your television screen is rioting, looting, protesting, purging of American statues, American history, and the president has to be out there talking, fighting back against that narrative, showing the American people what we really stand for. So that's the first thing. The second thing is there's something about the president when he's around the people that he enjoys and he gets the support from that. He gets great energy from that. And I think it helps him in managing the country. Arnold Schwarzenegger was this way when he was governor of California. We would try to get him out among the people as much as possible. These guys love the energy of talking to the American people across the country. It's going to be a great thing. I can't wait to see him take the podium tomorrow. It's going to be a great moment, not just for President Trump and not just for his campaign, but it's going to be a great shot in the arm for America, who's been watching all this play out. Now we're going to get back to the business of running this country and pushing forward the great American way.
You know what I'm doing tomorrow, Jen Kearns? I put some little Windex, cleaned up the giant flat screen TV. I've got myself, I've got a six pack of Baptist martinis. That's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon for all you Lutherans out there. And I have a giant bag of Brim's pork rinds, and I am ready for tomorrow.
You're going to have the watch party. I love it. By the way, I love Brim's, and I'm a vegetarian, but I will eat a bag of pork rinds like nobody's business.
That's right. It tastes like, cauliflower. I don't know.
It's crispy. It's delicious.
Crunchy. All right, Jen Kearns, great job. We cannot wait to hear your reports. By the way, we heard you this morning here in Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. Terrific work there, and be safe out there.
Okay, will do. We'll report back.
All right. Jen Kearns, boots on the ground in Oklahoma. And the president's right. And a lot of people are taking the president's tweet as a threat. I just think the president's offering some words of wisdom, if you will. If you want to show up in Oklahoma and mess around, they'll come dance with you. But you better be careful because they may have a cast iron skillet in their hand. And some people may have a double barrel cast iron skillet. All right, got to take a break to the phones after this. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza. By the way, Kimberly Guilfoyle coming up right after the top of the hour news. Let's get to the phones. Charles, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Been there a time or two. Listening to us on KARN. Hi, Charles. What's on your mind today?
I want to talk about something that's very dear to my heart, Todd. And first-time caller, thank you for what you do. I listen every day. All right, by chance, have you ever heard of a Peggy Hubbard?
I have not heard of Peggy Hubbard.
All right, well, if you get a chance, you need to look her up. This woman is on fire. She's speaking the truth. But what I want to talk about is I'm a veteran, a Navy veteran, served in the Gulf War, bled and cried for my country. I love my country. Well, anyway, this video, this Peggy put out, I don't know if it's true, but if it is, I'm mad about it, Todd. Supposedly, Nancy Pelosi gave the Floyd family a cased, folded American flag. And if that's true, that is so disrespectful, because he has never done nothing for his country. And that is a spit in the face of every American veteran that has ever stepped foot on a battlefield, stepped foot on a naval ship, aircraft, whatever it is.
Charles, and Charles, I am glad you called in, and I got to be honest with you. If that was true, I would be just as angry and outraged as you sound right now. But I want you to understand, we did some research on this last night, and sometimes there's, you know, well, we all know there's a lot of fake news out there, Charles. Sometimes there's some fake news on our side of the political spectrum, and that's what happened. So I want to explain what actually happened, what Pelosi did. She did give the family a flag, but this is something that this was not a special military flag. This was a flag that was flown over the Capitol on the day that George Floyd died in Minneapolis. So this was not a special flag that is given to honor military veterans or first responders. And this is something that is actually done on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, Charles, a lawmaker several years ago sent me, gifted me one of those beautiful folded American flags because it flew over the Capitol from Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee, and this was a Tennessee lawmaker. So that's what that is all about. So this was not some sort of a special thing. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It was just, Todd, I seen that last night, and being the veteran, and it, Todd, I got so mad, I got sick to my stomach.
Charles, what branch of the military did you serve in?
I was in the Navy.
The Navy. Well, Charles, I hope this calms you down a little bit, but I tell you what, Charles, I would have been spitting mad too, Charles. I hear you. But Charles, that music means, you know what it means. I got to take a break, but I want to tell you something. Charles, God bless you, sir. Thank you for serving our great country in the U.S. Navy, and thank you for listening to our radio show. All right, good man right there. Good man. It's good to be righteously indignant a time or two. Hey, got to take a break. Kimberly Guilfoyle coming up next.